This is Greater LA, the show that connects you to the people, places, and today, real estate of Southern California. Hey there, I'm Saul Gonzalez of KQED's The California Report, in for Steve Chiatakis. In Southern California's residential real estate market, we're used to home prices always going one direction, namely up. But something odd has been happening in just the last few months. The real estate market has chilled ever so slightly, with asking prices for many homes actually falling. So, what's going on here? And are declining home prices just a blip or a sign of a long-term trend? For some insight, we're joined by Eric Sussman. He's a professor of accounting and real estate at UCLA's Anderson Graduate School of Management. Hey, Eric.
Hey.
And also on the line, we have realtor Dania Handy Gill, who's involved in real estate transactions across the east side of LA. Hey, Dania.
Hi.
Hey. So I'll start with you, Eric. What kind of trends have we seen in the residential real estate market here in Southern California, say, since the beginning of summer?
Well, you said it really well. We've definitely had a softening of the market, which is just shocking to most Los Angelinos who, as you said, have been used to prices going up, up, and away. But look, it's very simple. If you stop and think that the average rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage last year in 2021 was 2.96%. I mean, just step back, less than 3%. And today we're talking in the mid to high fives. You can't be shocked with inflation and higher rates that that has led to a slowdown in the housing market and something, maybe a new reality we're all going to have to get accustomed to.
All right. Well, let's turn to a realtor, somebody who's in the trenches. What are you seeing out there?
Well, you know, I'm still seeing very low absorption rates. So specifically in South Pasadena, we have an absorption rate of 1, which means that basically properties are only staying on the market or able to sell within a month. And at one point, there was maybe a handful of listings in this particular area. There are a lot more listings on the market. However, there have been so many buyers waiting to get into this area specifically because of the school district that they're still turning over quite fast. And there's multiple offers. There's some properties that are selling $1 million over asking, but I think it has to do with where the property is coming in on the market. I think that there are some sellers that say, well, I want my property to come on at a certain price. However, buyers think, well, if it's already at this price and it goes higher, then it's not going to be worth it to me. So I don't even want to give my offer. And so if you come in at a much lower price, then you get a lot more offers, and it usually goes up to where the market value actually is. So I think the price really has a lot to do with it. So I'm still seeing multiple offers. I'm seeing cash, but I'm also still seeing buyers with mortgages. But not 30-year fixed mortgages, more of a 7-arm, even a 10-arm. So mortgage companies are getting a little more creative in order to continue to have buyers that are able to purchase.
So, Eric, I go back to you and what I said earlier in the intro. Is this just a blip or is this a sign of more things to come, this trend line?
Right. I mean, it's interesting how, you know, maybe that area of Pasadena, you're seeing different attributes. But, you know, my sense is this is going to be a longer term trend. Supply is still, you know, fairly modest. Rates are still relatively low. Historically speaking, there was a lot of pent up demand from COVID, and households were able, through, you know, reduced spending and, of course, let's face it, government largesse, really improve their balance sheet. So it's not surprising that we're still seeing offers. It's just going to be a slowdown. I've told everyone if they're waiting for a collapse, they'll be waiting for Godot. It ain't going to happen because of modest supply. And you know, and the banks too. You stop and think back to the great financial crisis when banks were, you know, giving away capital and debt you know, to corpses. I mean, if you didn't even literally, I mean, they were that liberal with their lending. And of course, they got so overstretched. And that's what really causes the sharp declines. It's sort of that snowball effect when people sell. The banks then have issues with their loans and they're, you know, foreclosing. That sort of causes this snowball. That just is not going to happen this cycle, as best that I can see.
So, Ms. Handy Gill, I go back to you. Let's talk about a real-world situation. There are probably a lot of people listening to all of us talk who have been looking for a home, continue to look for a home, maybe a young professional starting out, a couple that's just gotten married. What do you say to them? I mean, is this a good time to buy? Is it just slightly less impossible to buy than it was a few months ago, or what?
Well, I always say that it's always a great time to buy in SoCal.
That's what every real estate agent says, though. They yeah, always say that.
And it's true, because I'll tell you, in 1999, when I was in my 20s, I purchased my first property in Venice for $275,000.
Lucky you.
So, and that's why I say it's always a good time in Southern California, because, you know, as long as you can get in there, it's always going to go up. And even if it goes down for a spell, it always will readjust and go even higher than it was before. So I don't think it's a great time for flippers, because, you know, if you need to, if you're thinking that you're going to buy something and update it and then put it right back on the market, I don't think it's that time at all. But I think if you are intending on purchasing and holding on to a property for at least 3 to 5 years, it's absolutely a great time. And I'm seeing that there's more on the market for the buyers.
Well, where? I mean, everywhere or certain geographic areas or?
I would say everywhere. Everywhere.
Okay, Professor Sussman, from your perspective there in the real estate ivory tower, what do you think?
Well, look, I actually agree with the bigger picture. And I tell my students who, of course, usually are as concerned about whether they can afford to buy a home as what's on the final exam. And I tell them, look, the same response I've given for years and years, for almost 30 years of my teaching, I say, look, if you find a home that's going to work for you and your family, or, you know, your particular living situation, you know, at least 5 years, buy it and don't worry. I agree with the broad sentiments that, look, you can't time markets. It's a fool's errand to try to, you know, seek out peaks and troughs in markets, certainly in real estate. So I agree with the broad sentiment. But, you know, I don't want to have rose-colored glasses on. This is, you know, time of a lot of uncertainty in everywhere you look, whether it's political, geopolitical, interest rates. But I think, look, we've had an incredible run. We've had an unprecedented run in real estate prices. And maybe I'm a little more pessimistic, slightly, than those, you know, in the realtor profession. But broadly, I agree with the sentiment. If you've got the liquidity and the ability, the wherewithal, and some patience, buy and don't worry about it. Flippers, I agree, that's a different story.
But just a caveat, right? And that is for people listening out there who think, oh, this softening, it'll continue, and the house that's now $1.5 million will be $700,000 in a year or two. That's likely not the case.
I see that as, you know, Harry Potter 8. I mean, I just don't see it as best as I can see it. I mean, look, there's $22 trillion, with a T, dollars of M2 money supply on the sidelines. That's sort of what most of us think of as cash, banking accounts, you know, checking, savings, money markets, $22 trillion. You know, the Fed has created this sort of monster. So there's all this capital. And it's, as we've discussed, been looking for houses for some time. We've been undersupplied. So sort of, you know, economics 101 tells us I just don't see a significant decline in prices. Softening is the word. And just don't believe maybe some of the headlines, because, again, those might lead you to the wrong conclusion.
And Ms. Handy Gill, any final words?
Yeah, I mean, I think for all of my buyers that have been waiting and waiting and waiting for the right time, they're now really seeing that there's so much more on the market that they are interested in. And it's not crazy. There's, you know, not as many offers, and they feel like they can actually get a foot in now.
All right. We've been talking to Eric Sussman, a professor of accounting and real estate at UCLA's Anderson Graduate School of Management, and Dania Handy Gill, a realtor covering the east side of Los Angeles. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
Onward with Greater LA, I'm Saul Gonzalez. The Los Angeles Public Library System has more than 6 million books, audiobooks, periodicals, DVDs, and CDs in circulation at more than 70 different branches across the city. A free library card gets you free access to all of those things. And as it turns out, a whole lot more.
Did you know that you can check out ukuleles from the Los Angeles Public Library? When you do, you'll get a book, a tuner, and, of course, a ukulele.
That's a video that recently went viral on the Los Angeles Public Library's TikTok channel, explaining how you can check out a ukulele there for free. It's just one of the many non-book items public library systems in Los Angeles County can offer the public. Here to tell us more about the little-known treasures library cards can unlock is Michael McKnight, who compiled a roundup for the Los Angeles Times. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Saul. Thanks for having me on.
So, Michael, many people don't know that libraries aren't just for books. I mean, you can check out a lot more than books from them. Can you give us some examples?
Of course, the ukulele one is the one that got the most attention. Who knew, right? And not only that, but the ukuleles are the only musical instrument on offer at our local libraries here. But there are, you know, in the summertime, libraries offer free lunches for kids. That's over now because school is back in session, but there's a library in Pasadena, the Pasadena Public Library, that offers seeds for people who have library cards. So you take the seeds home, you plant them.
Seeds, like to plant?
Exactly. Oh. You take them home, but the cool part is you take them home and you plant them and you harvest whatever grows, whether it's a flower or a vegetable, and you take the seeds from what you grew and you take it back to the library so someone else can check those seeds out. So just to know that that kind of stuff is possible.
The circle of life.
Right? Yeah, that's to me, libraries are about possibility, right? And just to know that you can get seeds and do what I just described at a public library is kind of cool.
Well, I also understand you can also check out sewing machines and sanders even, right? Tools?
Yeah. So the LA County Public Library, which is different from the LA Public Library, is two different entities, although they do partner on many, many initiatives. So you can get tools, and not just any tools, but they have a list of more than 100 tools on offer. Claw hammer, ball peen hammer, dead blow hammer. Like, I'm reading from the list right now. It's pretty funny. You know, they have a stud finder, which, if you're not a carpenter, that has nothing to do with Tinder. And, you know, they have a retrieving magnet. They have extension cords in 25 feet and 50 feet and 100 feet. So anything you want tool-wise or sewing-wise or cooking-wise, gardening-wise, they almost always are going to have it at the LA County Public Library.
Yeah, and in addition to that, I think a lot of us forget or don't know that public libraries are often really important social service centers of a kind, right? You can go there, they can help you find a job, they can help you with financial literacy, and so forth.
Absolutely. You know, the job finding initiative there in terms of helping people get online who might otherwise not be able to get online is really, really forward thinking. And I alluded in the LA Times article to the U.S. citizenship kit. So if you're an aspiring U.S. citizen, there's a kit whereby you can learn, study, and eventually become a U.S. citizen. And much of that material you get to keep. So it is a repository for all kinds of things, not just books, but things that serve the public good that have nothing to do with, you know, a hardbound volume that we all think that's all the libraries offer. But I've learned recently that's not the case. And it was a cool project to do for sure.
And do you think, just looking ahead to the future, that, you know, as more people read on screens instead of on paper, that libraries are going to have to do even more provide even more of these kind of services to the public?
That's a good question. And the good news is they're already ahead of the game on that. So I'm a library nerd. And, you know, my youngest and I were going to the library today after school, as a matter of fact. And so almost all the books that are available at Los Angeles Public Library or LA County Public Library are also available in e-form. Read them on your tablet or read them on your laptop or your phone or whatever. So they got ahead of the game on that a few years ago. So yeah, people are more used to reading on screens now. And if that's your bag, then you still have a place at the library. The library is still for you.
And do you have anything that you weren't able to get into your article in terms of a library service or just something cool you discovered that you'd like to share that we should know about?
You know, there's kilowatt meters. If you're curious about how much energy a particular appliance or a television uses, they have a tool whereby you can take it home and plug it into that device and learn how much energy it uses. These things are available, you know, I think the layperson just has no idea. And we were fortunate to be able to share it to LA Times readers and now through you good people.
Yeah, and if I could just say personally, I find that if you're ever feeling low about the human condition generally, a visit to a library is a partial remedy to that, at least. Do you agree?
Amen to that. Absolutely. I wish I had a nickel for every time I've gone into a library, found something I didn't expect, and left there leaving better than when I entered. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. That is Michael McKnight. He's a writer and a contributor to Los Angeles Times. Michael, thanks so much for coming on and talking about libraries and their hidden wonders.
Thanks, Saul.
And we're back now with Greater LA. I'm Saul Gonzalez. Okay, we talked earlier about libraries. Now let's focus on books themselves and book recommendations. Just because Labor Day is behind us doesn't mean it's too late to catch up on that summer reading you meant to get to, but maybe didn't. And of course, there are the anticipated fiction and nonfiction works coming out this fall. Here to offer some reading suggestions is Katie Orphan, manager of Chevalier's Books. It's one of Southern California's great independent bookstores in LA's Larchmont Village neighborhood. Hey, Katie.
Hi, Saul.
So before we get to the actual works themselves, can we just talk about how are things in your store, in stores like yours, as we come out, kind of sort of come out of the pandemic? Are customers coming back and are they in a reading mood?
Yes, I think one of the nice things about many people being home a lot more than they would have otherwise been the last couple of years is that many people turned to reading as one of their hobbies and free time activities. So we've continued to have a strong interest in reading in books, for which we are quite grateful.
All right, let's get to the books themselves. What can you and your colleagues recommend? And let's start with fiction. What are some titles that were real standouts this summer that you would recommend?
One of my favorites is The Pink Hotel by Liska Jacobs. It takes place at a pink hotel in Beverly Hills. So you might be able to put those pieces together.
I think I know that pink hotel.
Yeah. and kind of perfect reading for this heat wave. The Santa Anas are blowing and there are wildfires and the people and the animals of Los Angeles are getting pretty restless. So it feels appropriate for right now. We've had so many people loving Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow by Gabrielle Zeevan, who's also an Angeleno. And for anyone who might be put off a little bit by the fact the main characters work in video games, it is much more about creative partnerships, long-term friendships, than it is about actual video games. So for anyone who's more of a reader than a gamer, it's still an excellent book. And I would also add The Long Answer by Anna Hoagland, which has been a staff favorite and kind of perfectly and also unfortunately timed. It's in part autofiction about a woman's struggles with fertility that follows a few different female voices. It deals with abortion and reproductive rights, and it was written well before this summer, but it came out within a couple weeks of Roe being overturned. So it's really been an appropriate and fitting and moving read for people this summer.
And how about nonfiction now?
The new David Sedaris collection, Happy Go Lucky, has been super popular, as all David Sedaris is. It's nice to have something smart and funny to dive into when things are not always that way in everyone's real life. So that's been a huge one for us. For Angelinos, again, Bad City by Paul Pringle has been a great read, investigative journalism about Los Angeles and, you know, corruption, everybody's favorite sort of topics.
Specifically, a scandal involving USC and whether or not the Los Angeles Times allowed this particular reporter to pursue the story as aggressively as he wanted to.
Yes. So, you know, for anybody who lives here, I think the issues of freedom of speech, journalism, the power that local organizations have within the city, all of that has been fascinating.
And Katie, whether it's fiction or nonfiction, is there just a blockbuster, knock your socks off kind of book that people in the literary world are talking about that's just going to get a lot of attention in the coming weeks or months?
There are quite a few. It's the fall season, which is when it feels like a lot of the heavy hitters come out swinging. We've already this summer had new Otessa Moshfe, new Taylor Jenkins Reid last week, new Maggie O'Farrell this week. I would say maybe the biggest things coming, though, are the first Cormac McCarthy novels in several years.
Oh.
We also have a memoir coming out from Bono, and it focuses on 40 songs by U2 and the stories behind them, what they connected to going on in his life at the time. I think both of those will have a lot of appeal. And finally, Madeline Miller, who has been a consistent bestseller for years now with Circe and the Song of Achilles, has a short story that is getting published in a physical format for the first time, just in time for holiday shopping. And I think that will be flying off the shelves.
Yeah. All right, that was Katie Orphan, manager of Chevalier's Bookstore in LA's Larchmont Village neighborhood. Katie, thanks so much for your time, and thanks so much for talking about books and reading with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And that, listeners, is the show for today. But we have more tomorrow. LA will announce the latest homeless count. The numbers will tell us how many people are living on the streets and whether efforts to house the homeless population are really working. That's tomorrow in Greater LA, or as the hipsters call it, GLA. Have a question for us, a story idea? Go to kcrw.com/askgreaterla and share your thoughts, and we'll get back to you. And while you're there, subscribe to the podcast. It's absolutely free. Who made the show today? Jenna Cagle, Juliana Mayo, Zoe Matthew, Sonia Geis, Sue Margulies, Amy Tong, and Holly Adams. I'm Saul Gonzalez. Thanks so much for joining us, and talk tomorrow.